Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You know what's not ideal? Eating turkey leftovers every day after Thanksgiving in the middle of the day, because you get the itis. You get the itis, you get a little tired, you don't want to do anything, and it's Sunday, and I've had turkey twice today, and let me tell you, all I want to do is sleep. I'm just trying to nap. Well, we can't nap because we have podcasts to do and all that other stuff. I'm your host, Corey Waldron. Welcome to Full Access Hoops and OTG Basketball Podcasts. I'm joined today by the audio engineer himself, the producer, the man, the myth, the legend, Nigel Freeman.
Yo.
Nigel, what's happening, buddy?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Yeah, you know, hanging out, talking to you, about talking basketball. It's a good time, you know? This is going to be a different type of show. I'm going to start doing this like once a week where I bring on a guest. And I screwed this all up.
What do you mean?
Nah, I guess I didn't.
No, you didn't.
Well, like, I introduced you before, like, you know what I forgot to do, right?
No.
You're not cutting any of this. We're just letting this rock.
Let this shit rock, dog.
We're trying to figure out a new show. I'm going to start doing a show, though, once a week where I bring on one person. And we're going to just have like a free roam conversation, some basketball talk thrown in. This is the first edition of me doing that. That's naturally, it had to be Nigel. And naturally, there had to be some kind of hiccup from just doing it off the rip without preparing.
That's how we roll over here.
The only thing I forgot was to say, like, you know, but first, run the jewels.
Oh, I didn't think you were even at that part yet. I thought you were still rocking.
Oh. Yeah, I guess we pretty much are still rocking. I did the whole not ideal thing. So today's show, you know, me and Nigel's I'm gonna ask him some questions. We'll probably do a little bit of banter. We'll see how far it takes us. It's probably only gonna be somewhere between 15 minutes and a half hour. I'm killing time right now, just dreading it along. Nigel, you know what you gotta play? Run the jewels. So here we are, episode 53 of Full Access Hoops, and with me is Nigel Freeman, aka for Manzi Media. You can find him on Twitter at miles_free. Nigel, what has been the best part of this season so far to you? What have you enjoyed the most so far this year?
The resurgence of Derrick Rose, honestly. That's a beautiful thing.
It's funny, I kind of knew that was going to be your answer. Like, I swear, like, before the show, I was like, you know, what am I going to ask Nigel on the show? I was like, I got to ask him what he's been most impressed with. And I was like, I don't even know why I'm asking him. It's got to be Derrick Rose.
Yeah, I mean, very close to that would be, like, LeBron and the Lakers. That's honestly one of my favorite teams to watch and probably watch most of their games. But, yeah, Derrick Rose is... I didn't expect that from him. I thought he was going to be kind of, like, done to a degree. I always have hope, but I thought he was going to be done.
I mean, hell, I don't think anyone expected Derrick Rose to average 19, 3, and 4 and shoot 49% from the field, 47% from 3, and 85% from the free throw line. Of course, he had the 50-point game. Yeah, no one saw this coming, but he's definitely been impressive. I mean, he's a huge part of that Timberwolves rotation now. You know, he's a crucial guy, a part of any success they're going to have with Jimmy Butler being traded.
Dude, it's almost like he, to me at least, I know this isn't for everyone, but like, it's almost like Jimmy Butler didn't exist on that team. It's just always Derrick Rose. That's how at least I've seen it. Jimmy Butler's kind of the accessory to Derrick Rose the whole time.
Ben, I don't know if that's true, but that's definitely your Derrick Rose love coming out strong.
Absolutely.
This year, maybe that was the case. But you know what else is still alive and well, though, with Derrick Rose playing this well?
What's that?
Your Sixth Man of the Year prediction.
Oh, true. Very, very true.
You predicted Derrick Rose would be a Sixth Man of the Year.
It did. And it could come true.
It could.
I hope it does. I really hope it does.
That would be a good call because, you know, it would actually make, I mean, not that you're not smart, but that take, you know, that take had the possibility of being like my Trae Young take. It could have
gone down. Very true. Your Trae Young take was so outlandish. I don't even know what to say. Dude, that was next level, son.
Okay, but before we say my Trae Young take is absolutely terrible, can we just point out the fact that this guy is shooting dreadful?
Is he? Like, I thought it was the opposite.
No. He's averaging 15 points per game, which is like, okay. 7.8 assists, not bad. He's shooting 38% from the field and 22% from three.
Wow.
Let's not act like this guy is some kind of prophet. He's been ass from shooting so far this year. So I may have been wrong in some of my take, but he really hasn't been that you know, electrifying from the offensive shooting standpoint, which is what everybody expected. But he definitely has been more impressive than I expected.
Yeah, that's crazy. Highlights can really make you look like a superstar.
They always point out the star moment, especially for guys with big names, you know, Trae Young, Lonzo Ball. You always see the bright plays.
For sure.
Now, you're a Thunder guy still, right? Or no?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's till I die.
How do you feel about them so far this year?
It's turned around completely.
Yeah, turned around to 12-7 now. Definitely was a rocky start.
Yeah, I was a little uncertain, I'll be honest. I was like, damn, don't make this 2 years in a row with this like just being terrible. But the Westbrook and PG shit's working. So it's cool.
Yeah, I was a little concerned just with how streaky Paul George was to start the year shooting wise. Even still, he's not shooting like great. He's only shooting 41-35 splits. Obviously the 41 he wanted to be higher, but he played pretty well right before Westbrook got back. And then Westbrook can't make threes. He's shooting 17% from three.
That's crazy. He hits the ones that he needs to. I feel like that. At least when I see
it. It definitely feels like when you're watching, especially highlights of like Thunder games that are close and tight, it feels like he's always chucking up a three that goes in. It must be one of the five that he takes. but you know, that's one thing that's concerning because everyone coming into the year, I think you were with me when I told you this. I think I told you this. He was, you know, everyone was talking about how he was going to be a really good three-point shooter this upcoming year. They were saying that he was working on it all offseason, that it's a part of his game now, and it looks like he got worse, not better.
Yikes. That sounds familiar. It does sound familiar.
I probably meant this.
Yikes. Yeah.
I feel like I throw too many stats and numbers at you to begin with, so I probably just, you know.
Dog, you're my stat guy.
I'm trying to drown you, dude. Drown you in stats.
Dude, it's not a bad thing.
No, it's not. how do you feel about Dennis Schroeder so far? Obviously, he's had to play a bigger role with Westbrook, you know, missing some time. Have you liked him on the team so far?
You know what? I'm not hating it. I don't necessarily like it. It's weird seeing him on the team. I'll tell you that. I haven't gotten used to that yet. I gotta see how I feel like mid-season. It's still too early for me to talk about him.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about Schroeder. Like, there's nights where offensively he lights it up, where you watch, like, you know, he just like seems to lack effort, which kind of is a trend on this team. It feels like at times the entire team just lacks the kind of effort because they have to play like 100% on all nights to even win games.
That shit sucks.
What's a team that's disappointed you this year? Are you surprised at any team's slow start?
I mean, disappointed. Because it's like really every team that I thought that was going to do bad is dealing bad. It's like,
what team did you think was doing good is doing bad?
The Rockets.
Do you think that was Melo though?
No, absolutely not. I think if Melo was there a little bit longer, he would have gelled more. They gave him no time to gel. Like, I felt like that was unfair. And then they marked him as a villain. That's whack.
Do you think Melo gets another chance?
It's hard to say because it's like it hasn't happened already. Like, he didn't get picked up yet, so that's scary.
Yeah,
that's really scary.
It is definitely concerning. Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised about the Rockets. Do you think? Now, I feel that the Rockets had their chance last year. It was a 1-year window. That's how I feel personally. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
They had it, man. They were up 3-2. They were a Chris Paul hamstring away. And I think they were the better team last year. I think that Warriors team was kind of just on autopilot, cruise control, going through the Western Conference.
Dude, I remember that game. I remember watching, I think it was game 7. And the crowd's like, Chris Paul just needs one quarter to play. Like, I know injuries, like, that you can't play on all of them. I understand that. But I feel like you could at least give a, like, if you got 50% of Chris Paul in the game, you'll be all right. Like, you know what I'm saying?
You're saying he should have just powered through it?
I honestly think so, because, like, he could have recovered afterwards. He would have had time to recover and then played the Cavs.
I mean, it's
time.
I would have, if I could play in a game 7, I'd play in a game 7. I mean, honestly, like, I've pulled my hamstring before, and, like, it sucks. So, like, I don't know. I just don't know how bad it was, I guess, or whatever. But I feel the same. I'm always the kind of guy where I feel like if my body was broken, because you've played pickup games with me, you know.
Right.
Like, if I get beat up or I, like, you know, not like beat, I'm not getting like jumped on the court here. Let's just clarify that. If I'm getting beat up and like banged up, maybe I roll my ankle or I've hurt my knee a few times on the court really bad. I got like a bad right knee. And I play through it all hobbled and everything. So, like, for me personally, I know I would be doing everything I can to play. And even if I was banged up, I'd be saying, Coach, put me in. I'm ready to play. So I don't know. I guess, you know, we all have different pain tolerances too. And like I said, like, I don't really know how severe it was, but I would have tried to play. I agree.
Yeah. And it's like the way he got injured too was just the last couple seconds in the game before, like, that was just terrible timing. Terrible timing. But with Chris Paul and the Rockets, like, I feel like the Rockets, I don't know. I just don't think they'll ever be back to where they were like 3 years ago.
3 years ago? What was 3 years ago?
3 years ago, they were just as good. Weren't they a little bit better?
Nah, I mean, last year was their peak year. They set the franchise record with 65 wins. And I mean, last year was definitely the year. 2 years ago, I think they made it to the Western Conference Finals. I think you're right. But I think last year was definitely like the peak.
Dude, I've always kind of been low-key a Rockets fan. And I always kind of wanted them to win.
Well, I mean, you got, you know, Mooney's in there. You're our buddy, Brian Mooney, who Nigel lives with. And was a big part of Velasquez Hoops at the start. Still gets a lot of credit. One day his name will be on a wall in our office. he's a Rockets fan, so I'm sure, like, you know, that kind of influences you slightly.
Yeah, it does a little bit. I remember you telling me about T-Mac days.
Hey, I mean, I remember you even telling me last year that you were becoming a Pacers fan slightly. So
that's still a thing. I actually like watching the Pacers a lot now.
I've converted one person in my entire life to being a Pacers fan.
They're electric, though. They're fun to watch, especially if they got Oladipo. That their pace of their game just kind of increased, which I like.
Oladipo's fun. You watched any of their games this year, or not really?
I've seen one, and I think it was the one where he hit that game-winning three.
Against the Celtics?
Yeah, that was
interesting. Yeah, that's a really good game to watch. That was definitely the one to watch of all the games. Yeah. Of course, I talked with the Pacers for days. I love that team. They're scrappy. He's banged up right now. I would love for them, and Nick asked me this question, if I thought the Pacers could do it. On the last episode of the NBA Outlet, and now I'm going to open it to you, Nigel. He was saying, if you're the Pacers, would you trade for Bradley Beal? And, you know, of course, it's not going to happen, but my Lord, a pairing of Victor Oladipo and Bradley Beal with either Sabonis or Miles Turner would be so nasty.
Would Oladipo play point?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Wow.
If not, you could still do a point guard in, like, Corey Joseph, and then have Victor Oladipo play the two and have Bradley Beal play like the small ball three.
That would be filthy.
Right?
That would be filthy because Bradley Beal's like the Robin to anyone, I feel like. He's the perfect backup guy.
He's like Ray Allen. He reminds me a lot of Ray Allen. He's got a beautiful three-point shot. He can beat you off the dribble if he chooses. Decent defender. Can play make. He's fun. And, you know, Washington, obviously, they're just an absolute disaster.
Dude, I thought they were going to really be a team to watch this year. I think I had them on the list of teams I was interested to watch.
I thought they were going to be a three seed possibly in the East. I thought this team could be like a serious team with, you know, with Dwight Howard coming in, Wall, Beal, Otto Porter Jr. Like, I thought this Wizards team was going to be a top dog in the East. And obviously, you know, they're 7-12.
There we go. This is my disappointment. The Wizards. The biggest disappointment of them all, actually. It's actually kind of sad.
it's been disappointing for them. Are you surprised by the Celtics being 10-10?
Yeah. I actually just saw that today. I don't know if it's like something to worry about because their team is just kind of deep. And they have a lot of time to like figure things out still and get their groove back. But the East is just harder. Like after LeBron left, things kind of balanced themselves out. It's like there's no easy team anymore besides the Wizards.
I mean, the Cavs were an easy win, but they won back to backs over the Rockets and the Sixers.
Yeah, dude, when I saw that they beat the Rockets, I was like, wait, what? And then the Sixers, Joel Embiid was like...
He was... What did he say? Well, Tristan Thompson said, the Cavaliers run the East.
Yeah, dude, I read that. I was so dumb. I love it.
And that,
but, dude, I kind of want to switch over real quick to the West before like we run out of time.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about the Clippers, dude. They're number one.
I think the Warriors regained the one seed.
They did? Really?
I think so. I could be wrong.
I saw this like this morning.
It might be the Clippers.
It was like the Trailblazers.
Clippers and Grizzlies. Who would have thunk it?
Grizzlies have always been low key.
What are you more surprised of, the Grizzlies being up there or the Clippers?
Oh wow! Oh, it's Clippers, really.
Yeah,
so Warriors took one again.
Head to head.
Yeah, Warriors took one. They're 14-7. Grizzlies, and then Clippers are 12-6. Then Nuggets are 13-7. They're just down a game.
The Clippers just play tough, dude. They play physical basketball. I love what Doc Rivers is doing over there. They're figuring it out. Montrezl Harrell has been an alpha male for them. I really like what the Clippers are doing. I don't think the Clippers or the Grizzlies remain this high. I think they probably both fall underneath home court. Maybe one of them holds on to like a four seed. But, you know, I think they're definitely playing some really good basketball. I mean, the Grizzlies have the 30th ranked offense, which is dead last, and the third ranked defense, and they're second in the West. It just goes to show you that defense is still a big deal.
Yeah, dude. This is actually weird to see. Like, the rankings right now is just weird. Like, the fucking the Jazz are 14.
Yeah, they're in trouble, man. They're just bad. They didn't get better. They kept the same guys, lost to Repco, and they got worse. Ricky Rubio isn't shooting as well. Donovan Mitchell's been inefficient.
Bro, Donovan Mitchell had like 4 points the other night. It was some crazy low ass number like that. It was like either 4 or 6. And I was just like, yo, what is going on with this guy?
He goes, hey, what's going on with this guy? I mean, if you remember, I think last year the Orlando Magic got off to a really hot start.
Did they?
I'm pretty sure they were like 8-8 or 8-0 or 8-1. Like, they were one of the hottest teams out the gate last season, and they came back to earth. So, like, I just think these kind of things do happen where teams get off to hot starts and teams just kind of like struggle out the gate. So I'm not necessarily I just think some of these teams are going to come back to earth and some teams are going to rise back up. Are the Jazz, Rockets, Pelicans, you know, all these teams are going to miss the playoffs this year? Like, I don't see that happening.
But the only team that I could see moving out of the playoff ladder right now would be the Kings. And I feel like there's only room for one other team.
I mean, the Kings have played really good basketball to start. Last year the Magic got off to an 8-4 start.
Wow.
They finished the year 25-57.
Wow. They're eighth, so okay. Yeah, Magic aren't doing too bad this year.
No, they're solid. The East is, like you said, the East is tougher.
Yeah.
You know, the Hornets are 9-9, but Kemba Walker's been balling out. Who's your MVP so far?
Oh, boy. That's a tough question. No, it's not. It's not tough at all. Giannis?
Antetokounmpo? Yeah, I think that's got to be everybody's first choice. He's mine for sure right now, too. And then after that, like we talked about that on the outlet today. You know, I have Antetokounmpo in mind. And then I think I would go with Joel Embiid second. And then I have like a two-way tie for third between LeBron and Kemba Walker. So I think Kemba's just been insane. And LeBron's finally starting to play like himself.
Kemba Walker?
60 points, man, the other night. And he's averaging career highs. 28 points per game, 46% from the field, 38% from three. I've been really impressed. And, you know, the Hornets are 9-9 because, you know, with the pretty crappy team, Kemba Walker's carrying them.
Wow, my mouth was like open for most of that whole conversation.
Good. I'm blowing jaws open.
I like that. That's a hot take. Like second and third for me. That Joel Embiid one is also one that I kind of would sleep on, or I am sleeping on, I should say. But he's been putting up numbers.
He's been putting up numbers.
LeBron definitely might be second lock. And then third, Joel Embiid might be third because, like, he's leading. Well, he was at the moment leading in points.
I think Anthony Davis, you probably give consideration to Steph Curry, but he's missed some time.
Can I say something about Anthony Davis?
What?
I feel like Giannis kind of just made him irrelevant to a degree.
In which way? What do you think? Just because of the stats, the fact that Anthony Davis has missed some games due to injury?
It's more like I've never seen Anthony Davis play as aggressive as Giannis does.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, I guess there's more of a aggression to Antetokounmpo's play style than Davis. Davis, I think, has more finesse to his game.
I can't ignore that. I could co-sign that.
And so that's going to wrap it up for this edition of Full Access Hoops. Nigel, thank you again for hopping on the show. Where can they follow you on your social media?
You can find me on Instagram at Fermanzi Media, Twitter, Miles_Free. And those are really the only two platforms that I use.
Sweet. Sweet. Give Nigel a follow. You can follow me on Twitter at KWall Hoops. You also follow me on Instagram at KWall Hoops. That's KWAL Hoops. Until next time, peace out, knuckleheads.
Peace.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.